This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service, making it better. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be at the spa." But today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on, but transforming communications for your business with award-winning cloud-based solutions. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Another deadly school rampage. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Bruce Johnson, who's in for Jennifer Koschenka. On this Friday, October 2nd, here's what we have for you this hour.
At least nine people have been killed and seven others wounded by a gunman who opened fire at a community college in Southwest Oregon. The shooter was killed during an exchange with police.
Six U.S. service members are among those who died earlier today when a military plane crashed in Afghanistan.
Another sizable data breach to report. 15 million customers of T-Mobile have had their personal information exposed by hackers.
And the car brands to explore if you want a vehicle from an automaker that has not been affected by a scandal lately.
Nissan, they have not had any major safety scandals, or they have not deceived customers or the government in any way we know about. And other than that, two sort of niche companies, Mazda and Subaru, haven't heard much about them. And then two luxury automakers, BMW and Mercedes.
Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman lists what he calls car companies that don't cheat. He's here in about 20 minutes. Well, a scenic piece of Southwest Oregon is in mourning today following the killing of at least nine people at a rural college. Seven others were wounded. The gunman died in a shootout with police. It happened at around 10:30 local time yesterday morning at Umpqua Community College, just outside of Roseburg, a small town about 180 miles south of Portland. Local and federal law enforcement officials were still trying to understand why the gunman, 26-year-old Chris Mercer, opened fire. He reportedly was asking students about their religion as he attacked. It's not clear what, if any, connection he had to the school. Kendra Godin, an Umpqua Community College student, was in an adjacent classroom during the shooting.
We thought it was the science lab making little firecrackers. We didn't know what it was. And so she went to go check, and she saw the shooter, and he shot her as she opened up the door.
A law enforcement official said it didn't appear that Mr. Mercer had committed any criminal offenses in the past that would have prohibited him from buying guns. By the way, the local sheriff refuses to say the gunman's name. Meanwhile, residents gathered at a park in Roseburg, Oregon, for a vigil for the victims, with many holding candles as the hymn Amazing Grace was played. President Obama reacted swiftly to the massacre in Oregon. He spoke about the senselessness of gun violence and mass shootings. Visibly frustrated, the president said that thoughts and prayers are no longer enough as Americans respond to another deadly school shooting, and he challenged voters wanting to deal with the problem to vote for elected officials who will do something.
Somehow this has become routine. The reporting is routine. My response here at this podium ends up being routine. The conversation in the aftermath of it, we've become numb to this.
Mass shootings that have occurred during the Obama presidency include Newtown, Connecticut, Aurora, Colorado, Tucson, Arizona, Charleston, South Carolina, and numerous other cities. Mr. Obama, with some anger in his voice, called for changes in the nation's gun laws, though it's unclear at this stage whether the changes often proposed would have prevented yesterday's killings. But President Obama used remarks at the United Nations General Assembly this week to condemn Russian military meddling in Syria. He's trying to sell world leaders to support his approach, which is to contain the conflict militarily while seeking a political exit for Bashar al-Assad. Russia, meanwhile, wants Assad to remain in power. More now from Molly O'Toole, politics reporter for Defense One. She's with us live this morning on the T-Mobile hotline. Molly, the headline to your story says Washington wants to shape conflict from afar, but Russia is shaping the facts on the ground. Explain that a little bit.
So that refers a lot to the differences in Obama's approach and Putin's approach. Obviously, we know that President Obama feels very strongly that his election, his first election in 2008, was sort of a mandate from the American people and a repudiation of the Bush administration's foreign policy to sort of chart a new tack to do much more of a diplomacy first force. Pretty far down the line of the checklist in terms of approaching global conflict and even counterterrorism. And while there are strengths to that policy, it prevents American boots on the ground, which he feels is what the public supports and he represents the public. It also sets up obvious limits for other actors in the world to take advantage of when they have no such red line, so to speak. And we see that in Syria. The Obama administration has been very reluctant to get involved in Syria because they've been very candid that they think it's a quagmire that really has no good solution, and particularly no good military solution. But President Vladimir Putin, that really has opened up space for him to assert his not only his sort of influence in the region.
Right.
Through the deployments of sizable military assets, and now we've seen the airstrike.
Seems like we've been caught off guard on at least two fronts here. One, the airstrikes, and two, the fact that Russia seems to be targeting people opposed to Bashar al-Assad, not necessarily ISIS terrorists.
Right, exactly. So President Obama and President Putin, obviously they had an extensive conversation at the sidelines of the UN General Assembly. And now that in and of itself is in some way can be a reflection of who has the upper hand here. Russia said that they warned that they were going to do these strikes and that to avoid quote-unquote unintended incidents, the U.S. should coordinate with them. Now, the U.S. military had broken off what we call military-to-military contact, sort of a professional, operational-level communication between our military officials and their counterparts in Russia when Russia invaded Ukraine. They had broken off that contact. So essentially, Russia forced the U.S. back into conversations with Russia, threatening these unintended incidents. And when they sat down, they promised that they would start engaging in this military-to-military contact. And then just 2 days later, we see Russia start these strikes, and the administration admitted that these talks hadn't begun yet. Now, they began yesterday, but in the meantime, the U.S. and Russia aren't communicating when it comes to which targets. They're still in the very preliminary stages of this deconfliction. So it's a very dangerous situation in the air. Now, it should be noted that the U.S. and coalition forces are operating in a very different area. Syria is a fairly large country,
okay.
A different area than Russian air forces. But that just goes to show you that Russia really isn't targeting the Islamic State,
right?
Because that's why the U.S. and coalition forces aren't operating in that same area, because it's an area where it's really rebel control versus government control, as opposed to an ISIS stronghold, which is where the U.S. and the coalition are focused.
Right. Hey, Molly, thanks for a few minutes. Appreciate it. Molly O'Toole, politics reporter for Defense One. Where that phrase, unintended incidents, right, kind of makes you a little nervous. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You're results-driven and you're ambitious. You've established yourself professionally and now you're looking for more. Take the next step in your entrepreneurial journey with Edible Arrangements, the brand that revolutionized gifting with handcrafted fruit arrangements and gourmet chocolate-covered fruit now also offers delicious everyday treats like smoothies, fruit salads, and parfaits. As an Edible Arrangements franchisee, you get access to an established brand with 16 years of growth, over 80% brand recognition, and 1,200 locations worldwide. You'll benefit from know-how, support, and millions of visitors to the Edible Arrangements e-commerce platform. Discover why Entrepreneur Magazine named Edible Arrangements a top franchise and among their best of the best for 2015. Start your journey to sweet success as an Edible Arrangements franchise owner. Call 1-888-727-4258 or go to edible.com. That's 1-888-727-4258. 4258 or edible.com. Thanks for being with us. Good Friday morning. The school shooting in Oregon is not the only unsettling news today. A U.S. military transport plane crashed earlier this morning at an airfield in Afghanistan, killing all 11 people on board. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Six U.S. military service members and five civilian contractors who were employed by the U.S. were killed in the crash. A spokesman for the Taliban said its fighters had shot down the aircraft, but the U.S. military said there were no reports of enemy fire at the time. A statement from the 455th Air Expeditionary Wing at Bagram Airfield described it as an accident without offering details. The crash came hours after Afghan troops recaptured the center of the strategic northern city of Kunduz yesterday amid fierce clashes with Taliban militants. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. It's 19 minutes now after the hour. 20 minutes now after the hour on this morning. Bruce Johnson is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a witness says a teacher was struck in the head and some students were hit multiple times by a gunman who opened fire in a community college classroom in Oregon. At least nine people were killed yesterday, and one witness says the attacker demanded to know students' religion before shooting them at Umpqua Community College. Authorities say Chris Harper Mercer died after a shootout with police, but Douglas County Sheriff John Hanlon says, forget about Mercer.
Focus your attention on the victims and the families, and helping them get through this difficult time.
Mercer's father is Ian Mercer of Torrance, California, where the shooter once lived.
Shocked. Shocked is all I can say.
President Obama had more to say, telling reporters,
have news organizations tally up the number of Americans who've been killed through terrorist attacks over the last decade and the number of Americans who've been killed by gun violence. And post those side by side on your news reports.
Investigators are looking into a definitive motive for Mercer's shooting rampage. The Pentagon is abuzz with thorny legal and foreign policy talks as officials begin to think about the question of protecting U.S.-trained and equipped Syrian rebels if they come under fire by the Russians. The talks stem from Russian airstrikes in Syria in support of President Assad, which are hitting some rebel positions rather than ISIS militants. The U.S. East Coast is bracing for the possible arrival of Hurricane Joaquin, which is now pounding the Bahamas. But another storm is creating flash flooding in some areas, drowning a woman in her car in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and killing a person near Fayetteville, North Carolina, who was in a car hit by a falling tree. The Yankees are in baseball's postseason for the first time since 2012. The Yanks clinched an AL wildcard berth last night with a 4-1 home win over Boston. And Texas is also in the playoffs for the first time in 3 years, clinching at least an AL wildcard berth with a home win over the Angels. And Gordon, well, the Philadelphia Eagles, apparently, they are not using the word Redskins on the cover of their weekly media guide. Wow. Instead, it just says Washington for the opponent this coming Sunday. Through the team's first three games, the opponents on the media guide cover were referred to as the Atlanta Falcons, Dallas Cowboys, and New York Jets.
Wow. That has died down, it seems, somewhat this season. It never really goes away, I guess. But
so it's kind of surprising why it pops up this week in Philly.
Right. Interesting. Thank you, Bruce. 23 minutes now after the hour on this morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us on this Friday morning. If you're in the market for a new car and would like to avoid an automaker that has not been tainted lately by a scandal, your list of options just got smaller thanks to the emissions cheating at Volkswagen. Here's Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. Rick, what have you found?
So the question is, who's left? And so the sort of cleanest, if you can use that term, of the big car makers is Nissan. They have not had any major safety scandals, or they have not deceived customers or the government in any way we know about. And other than that, two sort of niche companies, Mazda and Subaru, haven't heard much about them. And then two luxury automakers, BMW and Mercedes. So that's your list if you want to sort of be a socially conscientious car buyer.
Not to be mean, but does it say something that these are overseas-based manufacturers?
No, I think what it says is that automakers have been getting away with a lot lately, and the government has either been looking the other way or just has not had enough sort of muscle to crack down on the automakers. And we've seen that as many of these safety scandals, for example, have mushroomed. What we've seen is, the automakers just don't provide the information to the government. Sometimes the government sort of knows that the automakers are withholding information, but they just don't have the power or the inclination to do anything about it. Some cases, the government simply relies on the automakers to do their own self-testing. I mean, that's the case with mileage standards, for example. I mean, it basically trusts the automakers to be accurate when they say this is the MPG of a particular model. And two automakers, Ford and Hyundai, kind of got busted coming up with bogus numbers. It's not clear whether they did that deliberately or whether their testing parameters were off. But I mean, this has basically been the auto industry getting away with too much, and we have definitely seen a change in that relationship lately. So the government has said, you know, we're not putting up with this. We're going to do what we can to be tougher on the automakers, and they've also asked Congress for more authority to do things like impose larger fines and other things that will give the government more muscle.
Wow. We're speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman, taking a look at automakers that have not had a recent scandal. Any indication that those companies are doing well sales-wise because of a lack of a recent scandal?
Well, you know, recalls are expensive, especially when they involve, when you hear hundreds of thousands of models or millions of models. I mean, I think one thing that's been going on is the auto industry has actually been doing really well. So just about all the automakers are doing pretty well, except for Volkswagen, which was struggling before it had this problem. So the diesel scandal comes along at a very bad time for Volkswagen, just as they were starting to get some traction back. The other automakers have been doing better, but the, you know, when they have had to initiate recalls, it has cost them a fair amount of money, and that's why they don't like to do it. It's expensive.
All right. Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman, who's based in New York. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service with voice over internet. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be spending some me time at the spa." But the thing about better is, there's always more better. So today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on by a masseuse named Moonshadow, but with its nose to the grindstone, transforming communications for your business by making it better. With a cloud-based infrastructure that grows as your business grows. Seamless mobility between all devices so you don't miss that important call, even while Moonshadow is walking down your spine. And all for less than you think. So while you're getting your mani-pedi, Vonage's toenails remain a complete disaster, because Vonage is still out there working to make more better. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call Vonage at 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday, October 2nd. Gordon Deal with Bruce Johnson, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshinka today. Some of our top stories and headlines. It's not a morning full of good news for sure. 10 people are dead, including the gunman, after a shooting at a community college in Oregon. 11 people died earlier today when a U.S. military transport plane went down in Afghanistan. Forecasters are still tracking the path of Hurricane Joaquin. 15 million T-Mobile customers exposed in a hacking. And you get one guess as to which presidential hairstyle is the big seller this Halloween. Problem is finding a store that still has these wigs. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, folks on the East Coast have been keeping a close eye on Hurricane Joaquin. It's been battering the Bahamas, but maybe changing paths and not taking a direct course toward the U.S. mainland. For the latest, we're joined by forensic meteorologist Howard Outshul, who operates the site weatherconsultants.com. Good morning, Howard. Catch us up to date. Where are we with Joaquin?
Well, you know, Joaquin is really just like kind of sitting and spinning over the Bahamas. They just, unfortunately, the Bahamas got wrecked with this storm. 130-mile-an-hour sustained winds. And I was looking at a website from Church Grove in the Bahamas. They had a weather station set up there. And it got knocked offline. But before it got knocked offline, it had measured wind gusts of 146 miles per hour.
Wow.
Insane. So this is a strong, you know, the nice solid Category 4 hurricane toward the top of the scale, and it's just sitting there. I mean, you know, northwest speed at 3 miles per hour right now, and it's over the Gulf Stream waters, the warm Caribbean, and you know, it's just, it's maintaining its strength and just plastering the Bahamas. I really feel for those people.
Are the comparisons to Superstorm Sandy from 3 years ago fair?
No. This is a different kind of storm, I think. You know, when it was Sandy, it was, you know, a lot of extra tropical, we call it, components to it, which means it had, you know, like a warm tropical core to it, a warm consistency from the ground up. Sandy had warm and cold. It was kind of a blend. And Sandy really wasn't, you know, when it made landfall, it wasn't as strong as Joaquin. Sandy was maybe 80, 85 miles per hour or something like that. And Joaquin is 130. So there's, you know, drastic differences in strength. And, you know, it's going to, you know, the whole path of the storm, whoever's in the path of the storm is going to be dealing with this for, you know, many, many days. But the good news is it looks like there's a trend away from the Mid-Atlantic coast.
All right, so develop that a little more. What are you seeing at this point in terms of where it might make landfall in the U.S., if it does?
You know, the interesting thing with this is that I'm not 100% sold that it won't affect the United States. My forecast is for it to go out to sea and really not affect anything. There could be some tropical storm or low-end hurricane conditions in Bermuda. But, you know, about 30% of the models still bring a landfall into the Carolinas, while the other 70 bring it out to sea. So we're going to have to watch the Carolinas kind of closely in the back of our mind. I do think that it'll go out to sea. But if it does, there are some indications that it could get a little uncomfortably close to Cape Cod and eastern Massachusetts. So it looks like we'll have at least one, two, or three different parts of land to watch for the next, you know, 4, 5, 6 days. It will be a hurricane even when it gets up by Cape Cod, so it'll have a lot of strength with it still.
Wow. All right, so we see any effects right now on the U.S. mainland from this thing?
Undoubtedly, there's high surf and some storm surge issues. The way the pattern's setting up, the Carolinas are due for a massive flood threat, especially South Carolina and North Carolina. They could see some record-breaking rainfall amounts there and flooding. But it wouldn't surprise me if, very high surf, rip currents, and maybe some storm surge start developing as this gets a little bit closer to the coast. Even in Florida, I'm sure they're seeing some pretty rough surf with this thing just sitting and spinning. So even though it's in the Bahamas, you can have its effects, you know, thousands of miles away.
Yeah. We're speaking with forensic meteorologist Howard Altschul about Hurricane Joaquin. All right, so quickly here, you mentioned before this thing's moving at 3 miles an hour. Is that typical? That seems like it's just parked.
Yeah, that's slow. Normally they go, 10, 15, 20 okay. miles per hour. 3 miles per hour is very slow, nearly stationary, and it's just battering the same places in the Bahamas, you know, over and over again. So it's not going to be, I don't think, pretty pictures down there when the light comes up.
Yeah, that's awful. Howard, thanks for a few minutes as always. Howard Altschul, forensic meteorologist. He runs the website weatherconsultants.com. It's 20 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Time for our weekly look at what we've been searching for the most online the past few days. We're joined now live by Google Trends expert Nina Tyler. Good morning, Nina. Hurricane Joaquin, at least for those of us on the East Coast, right?
That's right. People across the eastern seaboard have been searching for information on Hurricane Joaquin. It's the first major storm of the season, and we saw it really hammering the eastern Bahamas yesterday. So it's unclear whether or how much it will affect the East Coast. We're expecting flooding, you know, in areas from South Carolina all the way to Massachusetts, even though the hurricane seems unlikely to actually make landfall in the U.S. So some of the top cities that were searching for Hurricane Joaquin, we saw Smithfield, Maine, Fredericksburg, Pennsylvania, and Rock Hall, Maryland. Those were the top three.
Very good. How about this, too, right? Another step closer to finding some sort of life on Mars, perhaps?
Yes, this was really exciting news that came out of NASA on Monday. They announced that they've actually found evidence of water on the surface of Mars. So we saw people taking to Google to really find out, you know, more about what life on the planet could look like, as well as the possibility for a future human mission to the red planet. So people wanted to know, what did NASA find on Mars? Is Mars bigger than Earth? How long does it take to get to Mars? And different things like that. So there's a lot of excitement and really just kind of fueling the fire that there may be other life out there.
All right. So in your commitment to your current job, let's say, knowing that, you know, Google is a fairly high tech company, and I think I read it takes 3 years to get there by, say, rocket. Would you commit yourself or take that transfer if Google offered it?
If Google offered it, put me on the list.
Yeah? Three-year trip to Mars and you'd be on it?
I'd be willing to make that commitment.
I'm impressed. Also, too, tell us about this first female baseball coach, too, hired by the A's.
That's right. Justine Siegel, she made Major League Baseball history on Tuesday. As you mentioned, she was hired by the Oakland Athletics, and she became the first woman in a coaching position for Major League Baseball. And if her name sounds familiar, you might remember that she was also the first woman to throw batting practice for a Major League team. So this brought many, many people to Google looking for other first females, you know, people wanting to know who was the first female NFL coach, which would be Jen Welter, who was the first female Navy SEAL, Kristen Beck. So people really wanting to know about other history-making women who have broken barriers.
Very good. Hey, thanks for a few minutes. Nice speaking to you. Nina Tyler, Google Trends expert with us live this morning, talking about what we've been searching for the most online the past few days. Also on that list, by the way, chip cards, right? National Coffee Day. Oh, and the video of the week has to be this guy caught on camera with the kids. The mom had set up the camera to show grandma how he interacts. It turns out he's like super dad, just dancing and goofing around. Yeah, that's good stuff. Mom finds out how dad watches the kids, if you want to look it up. 14 minutes now in front of the hour. You're results-driven and you're ambitious. You've established yourself professionally and now you're looking for more. Take the next step in your entrepreneurial journey with Edible Arrangements, the brand that revolutionized gifting with handcrafted fruit arrangements and gourmet chocolate-covered fruit, now also offers delicious everyday treats like smoothies, fruit salads, and parfaits. As an Edible Arrangements franchisee, you get access to an established brand with 16 years of growth, over 80% brand recognition, and 1,200 locations worldwide. You'll benefit from know-how, support, and millions of visitors to the Edible Arrangements e-commerce platform. Discover why Entrepreneur Magazine named Edible Arrangements a top franchise and among their best of the best for 2015. Start your journey to sweet success as an Edible Arrangements franchise owner. Call 1-888-727-4258 or go to edible.com. That's 1-888-727-4258 or edible.com. Thanks for being with us. Good Friday morning, October 2. It's 10 minutes before the hour on this morning. Bruce Johnson is back. He has more of America's First News.
Gordon, good morning. The first week of classes at an Oregon community college has been shattered after a gunman opened fire, killing at least 9 people and wounding others. The shooting rampage happened yesterday at Umpqua Community College, about 180 miles south of Portland. One survivor says the gunman demanded that his victim state their religion before he began shooting. Another, Hannah Miles, was in the classroom right next to the one where the shooting occurred. Miles says her teacher led her and others to safety.
She said we all need to get out, and she got everybody out, and we were all just running for our lives.
The shooter, identified as 26-year-old Chris Harper Mercer, formerly of Torrance, California, was shot and killed by police. The state of Virginia has executed a convicted serial killer. 49-year-old Alfredo Prieto was put to death by lethal injection last night. Prieto had been convicted of killing a young couple in Virginia in 2010 and raping and murdering a 15-year-old girl in California. A military transport plane has crashed in eastern Afghanistan, killing 6 U.S. airmen and 5 passengers. The crash happened at an air base around midnight, about 80 miles from the capital of Kabul. A NATO official says the passengers were civilian contractors. The threat to the U.S. from Hurricane Joaquin remains uncertain, but a storm ahead of it already is causing problems for a saturated East Coast. Drenching rains in South Carolina caused major flooding yesterday, drowning a woman whose car filled up with water. John Cangelosi of the National Hurricane Center is tracking Joaquin.
Hurricane Joaquin is still a very dangerous Category 4 hurricane. Over the central Bahamas, hasn't really moved much lately. The storm is just drifting to the west at about 3 miles an hour.
The deadly Northern California wildfire that grew to nearly 111 square miles has been fully contained. And in NFL Thursday Night Football, the Baltimore Ravens beat Pittsburgh 23-20 in overtime. Here's Jerry Sandusky on WBEL in Baltimore with the game-winning call.
A 52-yard attempt for Justin Tucker to win it in overtime. Kick on the way. It's long enough. It is good!
good. And for the first time in 2015, the Hayes in the barn.
Now, Gordon, I'm really big on using cliches, but I've never heard that one, the Hayes in the barn.
I don't know that one, the Hayes in the barn.
Must be a Baltimore thing.
Must be. Well, you know what? You win your first game of the season, you're entitled to be excited.
Yeah.
Perhaps any phrase is, you know, worthy of that.
Load up a whole lot of hay.
7 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Quick thing, presidential candidates in Halloween. What's the first thing that comes to mind? Whose wig is the big seller this year? MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill says if you're trying to rock Donald Trump's bouffant for Halloween, good luck. Many sellers are out of inventory already. Katie, what are you hearing?
I talked to, I think, three or four major companies that supply Donald Trump wigs, and they had all, by the middle of September, sold out of their Donald Trump wig. All of them had sold out. They had to restock. So there was demand. And by the way, this is unusual because usually people, you know, they start maybe looking towards the end of September, early October for their Halloween costume. But the Trump demand for this stuff was happening so early that they had all already sold out of that special Donald Trump hair look.
Wow. All right. So are we able to drill down here, like, who are the wigs for? These adults going to like adult type parties, or are these adults buying them for kids who, I don't know, are vaguely aware of politics?
They're adult wigs. I mean, whether they're giving them to their kids, it's not clear, but they are wigs for adults. And by the way, this wig has been around for a while, you know, and so they've been able to track Donald Trump wig sales for a long time. And no matter what he did, they didn't sell out like this. Like, this is an unprecedented amount of selling out of Donald Trump's wig. So it seems like this is a lot for adult costumes, although, you know, they could be giving them to their kids, but this does seem like an adult thing.
We're speaking with MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill. She's got a piece about hot sales of Donald Trump wigs. All right, so are the experts actually able to describe professionally what is that Donald Trump hairstyle? Like, how would you do it, say, if you wanted to do it on your own because the Trump wigs were sold out?
Yes, and with not a straight face, they were not able to tell me this. But, you know, the hair is the hair. What they thought was so funny is the color, right? Like, the color of the hair is not something that they... I need to find this quote for you. It was so funny. One guy said, if I had to recreate that color, I'd just go to CVS, because he's saying, like, he wouldn't professionally do that color. And so he was saying maybe the Donald actually does his own color at home, because that's kind of what it looks like. Who knows? I mean, we don't know. And I called Trump's people to ask, you know, can you tell me exactly what he does to his hair? And they were quite silent on the issue.
Thanks, Katie. MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill, who's based in New York. That'll do it for this hour. For Bruce Johnson, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service with voice over internet. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, enjoy better, world. Vonage will be spending some me time at the spa. But the thing about better is, there's always more better. So today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on by a masseuse named Moonshadow, but with its nose to the grindstone, transforming communications for your business by making it better. With a cloud-based infrastructure that grows as your business grows, seamless mobility between all devices so you don't miss that important call, even while Moonshadow is walking down your spine. And all for less than you think. So while you're getting your mani-pedi, Vonage's toenails remain a complete disaster, because Vonage is still out there working to make more better. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call Vonage at 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.